I'm Derek Russell.
And I'm Brad Locke, and this is The Memo.
A gathering of all things Northeast Mississippi, brought to you by The Daily Journal and DJournal.com.
Hey everybody, welcome into another episode of The Memo. It is Wednesday, December the 2nd, 2015. Brad Locke here with you, online editor of The Daily Journal, joined barely by W. Derek Russell, entertainment reporter.
Did you get a promotion?
What?
Did you get a promotion?
What do you mean? I've been online editor for like 2 years.
I know. I just never heard your name drop it like that.
Every once in a while, I need to remind people why I'm employed here.
Gopher here, Derek Russell.
How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Yeah. You a little tired?
I'm good. I got coffee.
Okay.
Which doesn't happen often, but when it does, I need it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you've been a busy guy.
Until I can't get by 2:12 every morning like I want to.
Really?
I don't have time.
Yeah. I have to. If I can get up on time and there's not like just too much to do first thing, because I roll out of bed and I start working.
Yeah.
At like 6.
Yeah.
But if I can.
And we appreciate it. The journal appreciates your efforts. Well.
So I try to get by Cafe 212 if I can get out of the house by 8:30.
Yeah. I would love to get by there every morning and have something, just to have a hot beverage, especially on these cold days.
Yeah.
It's not cold quite yet, but it's getting there.
What's going on? I'm trying to do a podcast here, people.
Happy birthday to Brad. Happy birthday to you.
Welcome to retirement.
You going to tell them to get your will in order?
Well, I guess we're not going to start a Daily Journal choir anytime soon.
Who brought the Metamucil?
Thanks, guys. Love you.
Today is Brad's 40th birthday.
Is that today?
Like you didn't know.
I forgot all about it.
Big day. And hey, I've got a special guest for today's show.
Oh,
no. Who is it now?
Uh-oh.
So let's see if...
This could get scary. It's
me. Thanks to my coworkers. What the heck? Who are you calling?
Huh?
Who could you possibly be calling?
Your kindergarten teacher.
That looks like my dad's number.
Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning.
That's my dad.
Mr. Locke, we're happy to have you join us today on The Memo. How are you, sir?
Can you hear us?
Yes, sir.
We're glad to have you on The Memo today.
Hi, Dad.
Hello, Brad.
Were you in on this?
On what?
So weird that they Chris just had your number in his phone.
All set, Mr. Locke. We wanted to see if you had any good Brad growing up stories to tell on his 40th birthday.
Well, you know, I probably can come up with 3 or 4 or more, so we'll see what we have time for. I guess the first thing that came to mind when you asked me that question was when he was about 4 years old.
Oh boy.
We were sitting in church.
Sitting in church.
They played the organ, so we were sitting to the side of the pulpit, and of course the congregation was in the front. And came time for the offering, always gave Brad and his sister some money to put in the offering plate. And so this particular day, I was a little slow on the draw, and I didn't get the money out of my pocket, so the usher bypassed us and went to take the congregation's offering, and Brad kind of teamed up. He was deeply disappointed, obviously, being a generous person he was with my money. So I said, don't worry about it, Brad. When you come back, I'll catch his eye, he'll come over here and offer the plate you put in. Well, wouldn't you know, that day, the usher never even looked my way when he came back. So he comes over, he takes it off the plate, places it on the table in front of the pulpit, and turn around and leave. Well, I knew there was going to be a few seconds when my wife had finished playing the offertory. So I gave the money to Brad, and I said, just go ahead and drop it in the plate. So he did. He stood up, stretched both arms straight out in front of him, grasping the money in his little hand, and stiff-legged goose-stepped it up to the offering plate with his eyes closed.
With my eyes closed.
Put the money in the altar plate and goose-stepped it back to and shut down. And that, of course, I was about to crack up, and I looked across the congregation. A friend of mine was sitting over there, and he was about to lose it too, but fortunately he didn't. But after his old friend said, well, Brad, I didn't know this. Of course, he was going away from me. Brad, why did you close your eyes? He said, well, I didn't want anybody to see me.
Did it work?
Who knows? I don't think it worked.
Oh, that one's been told many, many times.
You've heard that.
And before. I actually kind of remember it. I was four, but I vaguely remember closing my eyes and putting my arms out in front of me and just walking up to the plate, offering plate at the front of the church so no one would see me, dropping in my nickels and dimes or whatever, and then going back to the pew. Because again, like you said, my mom played the organ, so there was a couple of pews next to the organ, very front of the church, so everybody can see you.
So, right.
So, yeah.
So she could slide over to the pew and help me ride herd on him and his two sisters once the preacher started preaching, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, Brett, modest guy he is, probably won't tell you about all his athletic prowess, but maybe his finest time was in the Superdome in New Orleans.
Oh, yeah?
You know that he has played in the Superdome in New Orleans?
I hadn't heard this one.
I played in the Superdome.
You did? Back then, at Ruston High School in Louisiana, Ruston usually went their football team to the state championship about every other year. So I think it was his ninth grade year.
Yeah, freshman year.
Yeah. They played Baton Rouge Catholic in the Superdome. They played the state championship games in the Superdome and beat them 52-10. So Brad played in the Superdome.
Well, played at halftime on the drum line.
Percussion.
Yeah, percussion section.
Right. But now, seriously, he really was a pretty good second baseman in summer baseball. He usually played second. He was a really good fielder, slick fielder.
Couldn't hit.
His hitting left a little to be desired at times, but, you know, he got some pound of hits as well. But the thing that was hardest on me was when the coach decided to put him in the pitch. Now, you got to understand, this is about 14, 15 years old. They had some kids that could throw the ball pretty hard back then. Brad was not one of them.
Nope.
But anyway, if they had one of their pitchers that came in and he was just firing the ball, but maybe he lost his control, you know, and a lot of times that would happen. Or the hitters got accustomed to his fastball and got their timing down, so it. That's when they bring Brad in. Now, he had three good pitches. He had his slow pitch and his slower pitch, and one we called his rainbow pitch, which was the slowest.
The changeup.
They're all pretty much rainbow pitches.
But the thing about it, those guys that had been used to those fastballs, you know, they had trouble adjusting to it. I remember one game, we had this big guy. I think he'd already hit two home runs against us and against our fastball pitcher, and they brought Brad in. He likes to broke his back swinging at Brad's pitches. Never came close to him. Stuck him out.
Yeah. I think I remember who that was, too. And after the game, our team was sponsored by Walmart. And we were just not that good a team. And after the game, he was like, we just lost to Walmart. Yeah, not only that, I struck you out somehow.
You get struck out by Brad.
Yeah.
But I will say he did make several All-Star teams playing summer ball, mostly because of his fielding ability and the fact that he would always hustle. You know, yeah. He didn't do it that.
I knew how to get a scoop. Ha, ha.
I understand the curveball gave him a little trouble when you.
Oh, the first day, I'll tell him about the first time I saw a curveball. Maybe in a few minutes here. Yeah, it's a good story too.
Well, thanks, Mr. Locke. We appreciate you joining us today.
All right. Well, his mother's standing here. Would like to say something.
Oh, great!
Even better.
Happy birthday, son.
Thanks, Mom. Love y'all.
Love you too.
All right. Have a good one.
All right. You go too. Goodbye.
Have we embarrassed you enough yet?
Oh, I'm sure you can do more.
Well, we do have.
Who's that woman?
Although I was looking at your Facebook wall, and I think this is my favorite post. Oh, look yeah. Who's all grown up and ready for a colonoscopy.
Yeah. Thank you, Nikki, for that one. I'm going to wait another 10 years for that.
So, Brad, do you remember your third grade crush? I've got her on line two.
No, you do not. You do not have Brooke.
You're on with Chris Kiefer.
You don't have Brooke Gulledge online. Whoa, did I say her email out? Yeah, I remember. I still remember my third grade crush. She was a crush till about seventh grade.
Brooke. Is that with an E or a...
maybe, yeah. I think so. I don't know. Gulledge. I don't even know where she is now.
This Independent was, Willow House Design Consultant?
I don't know. I lived in Clinton at the time. I might recognize her because I haven't seen her in like 25 years or more. But yeah. The first time I saw a curveball, I was about 12 or so, playing in an all-star tournament. This kid throws a pitch that I swear is about to knock me in the head. So I hit the dirt. I mean, I'm on my back. I look up, the ump calls strike. I'm like, oh, okay, it must have been a curveball. It went over the plate. I thought I was about to get beaned in the side of the head. So, yeah.
That was a good one.
Yeah, that's probably the church offering story is probably the classic Brad story.
It's a classic lock story.
Yeah, it is.
Classic lock. Well, happy birthday to you.
Thanks, man.
Hope we didn't embarrass you too much.
Yeah, well, it's kind of part of your job. You didn't find Brooke on Facebook?
I think this is her right here, and we've got her number, so 6-1. No,
555.
Yeah, it's always 555 in the fake number universe.
Well, there you go. Third grade crush got a shout out on the podcast.
There you go.
We'll never know it.
There you go. Fantastic.
Hope my wife doesn't listen to this.
Well, she's here right now. We're done. We're done. That joke may happen a few more times throughout the show, but I promise you we're done. Well, let's go ahead and get started with today's show. Up first joining us is Brad's third grade girlfriend, Dennis Sid.
Whoa,
I'm just kidding. Dennis, business reporter, Dennis Sid. How are you doing, sir?
I'm not sure how to take that.
That's fine. You just accept it and move on. That's how most things happen in this room. Dennis, we're talking today about Tupelo Airport Authority and the lack of seaport. A new recommendation has been made.
Which is a good thing.
Yeah, for... corporate flight management to provide air service from Tupelo to anywhere in the world, as long as you stop somewhere else first.
Well, you know, it's not a done deal yet. The board recommended to the Federal Aviation, I'm sorry, the Department of Transportation, that they want corporate flight management out of Smyrna, mm-hmm. that's outside Nashville, to provide service, and DOT has to sign off on it. You know, they should decide by mid-January, and maybe we'll have service by March, April. We'll see. But let's not be confused. It's not really air service that you think of. You know, you buy a ticket, you'll go to Nashville.
You get in a plane, but they actually drive the plane on the highway.
Yeah. Basically, it's an air taxi. It'll take you to the airport.
It's a bus with wings. Yeah.
But it has two engines. Okay. So that's good.
So, but 30 flights is what they're proposing?
Well, that's what they're proposing. All the other ones proposed 18, because with 30 flights, the subsidy would be over $4 million, which might be a little too pricey for the government, but you never know.
What happens in a scenario with these, and this may be what brought on Seaport, I know with... Not buying tickets. Obviously, if there's nobody to fly, they don't fly. If they're kind of like if in the larger markets, if you are the only person to buy a ticket for a movie, you don't get it. They don't show the movie if you're the only person sitting in there. They refund your money. I mean, what if it's one person? Are they flying that one person?
They will fly even if there's no persons, because they're getting paid a subsidy to make the flights. The problem with Seaport and to an extent, Silver before them was that you just couldn't rely on them. I mean, they would be late or they would cancel flights.
Yeah.
And Seaport was just bad, just beyond bad. And so the biggest discussion at the Airport Authority it was, and still is, I imagine, is no matter who we get to provide service, you know, can we gain the trust of the public back, you know, to fly a plane to Nashville? that essentially says taking you to the airport where you still have to get a ticket on Delta or Southwest or wherever to get to your next point. Now, would you pay $29, $39, $49 to fly 42 minutes from Tupelo to Nashville instead of driving 4 hours? I would. Now, whether or not, you know, Harry Dick, Sue, and Larry will. You're connecting, yes. Yeah. Or you know, you just might want to go to Nashville, period.
Yeah.
You know, just, hey, instead of driving, let's fly. You know, sounds like a pretty good deal. But the biggest thing for a lot of people will be, you know, am I going to get on this plane? And do I want to go through the hassle, whatever the hassle may be, to have to go to the airport and go through security and check my bags in and all that?
I'm not sure I can make an acronym out of CFM for Nashville. You know what Delta stands for, of course. Everybody knows deliver every living thing through Atlanta is Delta.
And there was a lot of discussion about Atlanta, you know, the preference for a couple board members. And I imagine some of the public is, why can't we go to Atlanta? Well, none of the airlines that bid. Two airlines bid, you know, with some flights going to Atlanta, but they're proposing those single-engine planes that, I don't know, do you really want to take a single-engine plane in Atlanta Hartsfield? You don't see that very often. Not that it's not safe, but point was made.
Depends on what kind of bumpy landing you want.
Yeah.
Are we exclusive to Nashville with CFM?
CFM is the branch they wanted to go with. They want to go to Nashville. They said it's more expensive to go to Atlanta. However, they didn't rule it out. Eventually, they may go to Atlanta if there's enough interest. But, you know, their bid was to Nashville, so they can't change the bid.
Yeah.
It'll be up to them to decide if they'll go to Atlanta. For me, I don't know if that's possible. I mean, they're committed to Nashville. They would have to pick up stakes and, you know, set up shop in Atlanta, which is not an inexpensive place to fly out of. I mean, it's not like going to Nashville. You can't fly to anywhere. I mean, you can reach anywhere from Nashville. You may have to take another, you know, hop to
somewhere.
You may have to go to LaGuardia or somewhere to
get
to where you need to go. Or, you know, Atlanta isn't the end-all and be-all of you know, flights. Certainly, it's the busiest airport, and it'll get you where you want to go, but we'll just have to see what happens.
But we're still without Memphis service as
a
result.
We're still without Memphis service. There was some, you know, a couple of carriers that included Memphis in their bids, too. But again, on that single-engine Cessna plane that probably nobody wants to climb on, thanks to Seaport. Thank you, Seaport. They pretty much ruined the experience. That was the opinion of a lot of folks.
The only time I've ever flown out of Tupelo, the times that I've ever flown out of Tupelo was strictly to Memphis, but that's been at least 10 years ago and the 4 or 5 times that I've done it. And those were fun trips.
Yeah, those 30-seat Saab 340s were nice little planes. Got you where you needed to go and kind of missed that. You know, I flew out of Tupelo 3 or 4 times. Haven't tried the single-engine planes yet.
Yeah. We'll see how that goes. It'll be fun.
And again, corporate flight management will be a twin-engine Jetstream. They come with 19 seats, but they'll reduce them to 9 seats. So you'll have plenty of room, plenty of leg room to sit in these flights.
Well, especially if you're the only one.
Especially if you're the only one. But there was some thoughts that a lot of some in the business community can't fly on a single engine plane, and maybe this will, you know, encourage some of them to hop aboard this plane. I don't know.
Do we get first class?
It's all first class.
There is,
in fact, on this Jetstream, there is a lavatory you can use. It's right behind the cockpit. It's between the cockpit and the cabin. You just have to close all the doors, and people will know your business if you're going to use the lavatory.
Just pull that curtain, too. Oh, I'm in here.
Yeah.
That way they know.
But all 42 right. minutes, if you can't hold it, you know, my advice is just go before you go.
42 minutes to Nashville is what they're projecting.
More or less.
Yeah. Do they have good bathrooms at the Nashville airport?
I'm sure they do. They have good bathrooms at Tupelo Regional Airport as well.
You'll be fine. You just make it there and you'll be fine. Any kind of money projection they gave on what this is going to cost?
Well, you know, last week the CEO said that, hey, we're willing to put people, you know, give away flights to get people interested.
Okay.
Apparently the president of the airline said, well, that may have been misinterpreted. He didn't really mean free, but he meant discounted, whatever that means.
I was going to say, I mean, a little sponsorship. We'd do a lot of memo from the air.
There we go.
I'd be willing to, you know, hop on board for a free flight to see what it's like. But no.
90 minutes round trip to Nashville and back? That sounds great.
They said, you know, maximum is probably going to be $49, possibly $59 one way. But I imagine starting out, they'll offer those $29, $39, get on board, you know, promotional fares just to see, hey, you know, do you want to go to Nashville for $39 one way? You know, if you don't want to pay it, you have to drive back. But
yeah, you rent a car when you get there and turn around and come back.
There you go, which is probably more expensive.
That's good. Just go up there for Sunday lunch, pop in, have lunch, and turn around and come home.
Go to ramen, you know, go to Opry Mills.
Yeah, just fly up there for a concert and come back. Yeah,
there you go. Of course, it'll be 5 flights a day, maybe. If there's going to be 30 a week, it'll be 5 on the weekdays and 5 split between Saturday and Sunday. How they work that out, I'm not sure.
This works for me. I can get my Predators season tickets now. I just fly up for every game.
Oh, there you go.
All right. Dennis Sid, thanks for joining us.
As always. Happy birthday, Brett.
Oh, thanks, Dennis.
Oh.
Well, it's Wednesday. That means it's food day, and that means we have Jenna Parsons on the show. Jenna, welcome, first of all.
Thank you.
Second of all, we're going to get to food in a minute, but we actually have something else to talk about with you today. You had a story about this Mill Village holiday open house happening Thursday and Friday. Tickets are $5. Basically what it is, you're getting a tour of some private homes and a few businesses in the Mill Village area. And this is kind of a fundraiser for the neighborhood, isn't it?
Right. They've done this before. It's not an every year sort of thing, but this is the first time they've had it in a while, I believe.
Yeah. And it's kind of part of a concerted effort to really keep kind of sprucing the neighborhood up, because it did kind of get run down for a while, didn't it?
It did. Most of the homes that are open are going to be over on Church Street, and these are going to be the homes during the heyday when the cotton plant was operational.
Right.
These would have been the homes that belonged to, at the time, the doctor, the mill owner, the veterinarian in town. And then the workers would be over on the other side of Green Street in the smaller little houses, the little cottages that I think are precious.
Again, tickets for $5 can be purchased in advance at Simply Suite by Marguerite and at Fun World, both on South Green Street, or the nights of the tour at any of the homes. It's 7 homes, 4 businesses, and these are historic homes. I mean, we're talking like 100 years old or more.
At least 100 years old.
Yeah, so that's a pretty cool deal. And again, it's Thursday and Friday, 5 to 7. And some of the businesses, like the J.J. Rogers Building, which I've actually been in for the Mustache Bash last year. Really cool place.
I've never been in there, but yesterday I got caught by the train, so I was just driving around, and I drove up to the J.J. Rogers Building, and out on the front of it is a BLP Mobile Paint sign.
Yeah.
My dad worked for BLP Mobile Paint for 40 years.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, that meant a lot to me to see that sign.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
Yeah,
that's pretty
it is cool.
So Thursday and Friday, tickets $5. Okay, Jenna, now let's talk some food. What do you want to talk about? Well, you wrote a column today that made me hungry about stuffed pork.
Pork stuffed and then wrapped in more pork.
Oh,
and there was actually, I'm not kidding, there was a recipe where you could brown some chorizo and put that in the stuffing of the pork, and then wrap it in the prosciutto. So that would be pork inside pork wrapped in pork. But I didn't go there. I didn't go there. Maybe next time.
You didn't bring any. It's my birthday. You didn't bring me any stuffed pork.
I'm sorry. I sang badly.
I believe that's only listed under one of the deadly sins, and that's gluttony.
Oh, man.
Yes, so it was really good, and it's still good. It's good leftover.
So where did you come across this recipe?
You know, I think it came from an old Sevier. I just went to Google, and I put in the list of ingredients I had, And you would not believe the number of recipes that are out there for stuffed pork. You can stuff it with spinach and mushrooms and chorizo, as I said, or herbs, all manner of cheeses, cherries, onions, just everything. But I went with what the ingredients that I had on hand, and actually herbs and garlic and fresh lemon zest. I mean, that just goes together. So it worked out nicely. And then the prosciutto, you know, you wouldn't have to do that, but that little layer of that ham around the outside of it gives it, well, makes it pretty, and it gives it a little crunch, and it just gives a little extra salty bite to it.
My mouth's watering. I don't know if I can finish this interview, Derek.
You're drooling on your computer.
Okay. Cook of the week is Susan McGookin.
Susan McGookin.
That's how I said it. And apparently, reading your story, Southern Living Magazine, popular longtime magazine.
Yes.
That's where she just like, that's her go-to. That's her money recipe.
It is. Thing. It is. Susan and I have known each other quite a few years and worked together closely because she is the coordinator for the Master Gardeners. Uh-huh. And I was a Master Gardener, and now I help the Master Gardeners with their articles that run in the journal every other Friday.
Right.
So I had always known she was a good cook because I've been at several potlucks where she provided food. But she just gets out there and tries things, tries recipes, has some failures. But if she uses Southern Living, that's her Bible of magazines.
Yeah.
She usually puts out something good.
Grilled salmon. See that in here. One of the things she makes.
Salmon.
Grilled salmon. I love salmon.
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 It's my second favorite fish behind catfish. Yeah.
I don't know. That way would be a toss-up for me.
I like them
equally well.
Yeah, it's tough. But anyway, you can see Jenna's stories in today's journal and at djournal.com. Jenna, always a pleasure. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me. Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Oh.
Okay, well, always love having Jenna on the show. Love having our people on the show. But, you know, sometimes now we're trying to have other people outside the journal on the show.
Well, that's the most we ever had earlier today on the show at one time.
Oh, yeah, the Daily Journal
Choir.
Corral or whatever you want to.
Booking available soon.
Yikes.
I wouldn't go for it.
Oh, that was lovely.
Was that our first Tiny Desk concert?
That was it. That was our first concert in here.
Can only go up from here, uphill.
We start low when we build.
Exactly. And tomorrow we're going to kind of hit a high point. We've got I don't have a drum roll, but there we go. The Big Cheese himself, Mayor Jason Shelton, is going to be on the program Thursday. That's tomorrow, the 3rd of December. Mark it down on your calendars and your little phone.
Whether he wants to or not. We've locked him in the room. He can't leave until he makes an appearance.
Exactly. So, Jason Shelton will be on to talk about all kinds of stuff. There's always stuff happening in the city of Tupelo. And so that's going to be fun.
Coming ahead of the Tupelo Christmas Parade on Friday night.
Yep.
So that's a big
deal. I'm sure we'll talk about that.
As well, the 67th annual Tupelo Christmas Parade, sponsored by Reed's.
There you go.
Downtown. Speaking of Christmas, we want to tell you, of course, about Santa Claus coming to the Journal here in a few days, Monday and Tuesday, December 7th and 8th, from 4 to 6 p.m. right here at the Daily Journal at 1242 South Green Street. And then again on Wednesday, December 9th, from 3 to 5 p.m., you can write your letters to Santa Claus and have them put in the paper.
You going
to
dress up as an elf?
Yes.
We're going to have elves.
Because Santa is coming. And I almost mess that up.
Wait, the real Santa, he contracts out his elves when he's on the road.
He does. I've had to dress up.
Because the real elves are too busy making stuff.
He contracts out a few Santas, too. I've dressed up as Santa Claus a few times in my time.
Yeah.
Hey, speaking of Christmas,
I don't need a fat suit when I do it.
There's a good Christmas play coming to Tupelo soon.
Is there? Christmas Carol next weekend at Tupelo Community Theater. See Daily Journal's own photographer, Lauren Wood, as Bob Cratchit's wife.
Yep. Directed by W. Derek Russell.
Don't put that evil on me, Chris Cooper. Don't threaten me with a good time. Yes, of course, December 10th through 12th at 7:30 p.m. Again on December 12th at 2 p.m.
We got the podcast
bring tomatoes.
News. Yeah, bring tomatoes. We've got podcast news.
I won't be on stage. So.
Of course, we've got the Double Coverage podcast. That's back tomorrow with Parrish Alford and Logan Lowry to talk about Ole Miss and Mississippi State sports. Doublecoverage.djournal.com. Also, a new podcast, guys, a high school sports podcast called Prep Rally. getting it started. First one will be today. Now, it's not going to be necessarily in the podcast format today. We're doing a Google Hangout, and you'll be able to watch the podcast with me and Gene Phelps, senior writer, who helps out a lot on the prep scene. So we'll be doing that every week. Of course, Chris, you know how this works better than I do. You got to submit it to iTunes after you do at least one episode, and then pretty soon we'll have it in podcast format. For now, though, it's going to be, I guess, in video form.
That's right. Yeah, yeah. For this, once we have this first episode, we'll get it out as a podcast. But yeah. But yeah, you'll be able to watch it on the website. We might, you know, we can see, you may do it, you know, in a webcast format, you know, for a little bit too, to kind of get it out there.
Yeah, certainly.
What are y'all going to talk about today?
I got state football championships coming up this weekend. We have three area teams playing for a state title, so we'll kind of look at those matchups, and got a new hire at Morville. Morville football has a new head coach, so we'll talk about those things with Gene Phelps and myself. So look for that at djournal.com sometime today.
Today, yeah, hopefully. It'll be up this afternoon. By the time you're listening to this, it should be up.
It should be, if all goes well.
Yeah.
Yeah, so anyway, look for that. That's going to be fun. That'll be every Wednesday. And again, it'll be in podcast form soon enough. Also, the that podcast has a Twitter, at DJournalPreps, just so you know. And we have the Twitter, too, at DJournalMemo. And DJournal.com has the Twitter, at DJournal now. We've all got the Twitter.
We do. We're Twitterized. We also can be reached by email, memo@journalinc.com.
Yeah, Journal Inc. with a C.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
You would think it's with a K. It's with the C.
So send me your birthday wishes through the email. Do that. You can do that.
Yeah.
If you want. Or not. Tell me you hate me. I don't care.
Tell Brad you hate him at memo@journalinc.com.
Maybe Brooke will send an email.
I sent a message to her, so we'll see if she gets back with me.
Yeah. You didn't find her.
The heck I didn't. I'm a reporter, Brad. What do you think? I never reveal a source.
Mm.
So we'll be back again tomorrow, of course, with, as we said, Mayor Jason Shelton.
Yes.
And a brand new episode for you, and Brad will be over the hill even more.
Yeah, yeah. I'll try to get myself in here. My back isn't killing me too much.
Are you going to complain some?
My back has been actually hurting, so, among other
leading up to
things.
Today,
yeah.
You knew it was coming.
Yeah,
I understand.
Exactly.
Well, thanks for being a good sport.
Thanks, guys. It was a good show.
Fun. Good show. Happy birthday, Brad.
Happy birthday.
Thanks.
Aww. Bye.
Bye.